Good afternoon, everybody. The Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs will now come to order. Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Wesso?
Here.
Knight? Block?
Here.
Crea?
Here.
Lou?
Here.
Nielsen? Roth?
Here.
We've got a quorum.
We've established a quorum. We'll begin with our first issue led by a very good senator, Mr. Padilla, Senator Padilla, on SB 1422. Welcome and begin when you're ready.
So thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Before I begin my presentation on SB 1422, I want to thank the committee staff as well as the California Military Department for our collaboration in working through both the impetus for the bill and specific language before you for consideration. I also want to, off the top, accept as author's amendments all of those stated in the or recommended in the committee analysis of the bill, specifically, number one, to provide a clarification to the term sexual assault by adding references to the relevant penal code sections in state law. Number two, to remove the references which specify members of the National Guard and instead replace with the term members of the active militia, not only more technically accurate, but more inclusive. Third, we want to extend the due date currently of March 1st for the annual sexual assault prevention and response report to the legislature to make it due on July 1st of the year. Fourth, we would require only aggregate data as specified in the bill for restricted reports to protect privacy. And fifth, to require aggregate data for unrestricted reports, which at a minimum includes the types of crimes, type of victim, status of the investigation or prosecution, and the status of the California Military Department's administrative action in these cases. These amendments, like I said, are the result of the collaborative work between our staff and the California Military Department, and I believe strengthen the bill and help us achieve our goal. The goal of this bill is to create a strong policy which puts California at the forefront of the nation in regards to the treatment of sexual assault incidents. In recognition that tomorrow is Denim Day, we're reminded that every 2 minutes an American is sexually assaulted, and one in three American women will be sexually abused during their lifetime. And 10% of sexual assault cases, the victim is actually male. These crimes, unfortunately, also take place in our military departments. The most recent sexual assault prevention and response annual report from the Department of Defense estimated that 26,000 service members experienced unwanted sexual contact in 2012, up from 19,000 in 2010. Last year, U.S. soldiers were 15 times more likely to be raped by a fellow soldier than killed by an enemy. Meanwhile, in California, the California Military Department, the majority of whose service members are on inactive duty status, lack the personnel and infrastructure to adjudicate these types of cases. As a result, the military department's standing policy has been to refer sexual assault cases to local authorities, who are typically better equipped to investigate and prosecute potential crimes. This effectively separates the investigation and the prosecution of sexual assault cases from the chain of command, something that some federal representatives are trying to achieve through Congress. The bill before you seeks to codify this practice. So we're taking what's current CMD policy and putting it into statute, specifically codifying key elements of the California Military Department's policy in cases of sexual assault, requiring sexual assault cases within the California Military Department to first be subject to the investigation and prosecutorial jurisdiction of local authorities, and allowing the California Military Department to claim jurisdiction for these cases under the UCMJ only when a local prosecutorial authority chooses not to prosecute a case. The bill also prohibits any convening authority within the California Military Department to overturn a sexual assault or rape conviction issued by a general court martial. The bill further specifies that there shall be no statute of limitations when charging a member of the California Military Department for sexual assault. The bill would require the California Military Department to provide an annual report to the governor and to the legislature regarding the numbers and resolution of sexual assault cases in the California Military Department. And finally, the bill establishes an official tracking protocol for sexual assault cases by requiring the California Military Department to provide to the legislature the amount of sexual assault cases reported on an annual basis. By doing so, this bill would codify best practice and military justice reforms adopted at the federal level. The California Military Department not only seeks to prevent sexual assaults, but also to provide support, services, and justice for victims when assaults do occur. With that, I thank you and ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, and you have guests that wish to speak.
Lieutenant Colonel Darren Bender with the Military Department. The department does not have an approved position on this bill. However, I'm available to answer any questions. And I will say that when the amendments to the bill are published, we will ask for a support position on this bill.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Lawson Stewart. I'm the chair of the Veterans Caucus for the California Democratic Party. Thank you for allowing us to come here today, and thank you, Senator Padilla, for bringing this forward. In September of 2013, we launched what we called Operation Reinforcements, which geared all these different organizations who have been working at multiple levels of our national and state legislature to ensure that this kind of a movement came forward. What we were not anticipating when we brought all of these groups together was how collaborative everyone was going to be on this. I wish to go on record saying that I was incredibly pleased to find that in comparison to other states and the struggles they're going through, it was amazing to find out that our California Guard had already responded with practices that better protected our defenders and provided us the opportunity to suggest moving forward, as Senator Padilla has, with codifying those actions. I know that the road for survivors like Kate, who I will be introducing next, has been a very long one, and I know that for those of us who have sought to uphold our oath of continuing to protect constitutionally protected rights, such as the right to not being assaulted, as simple as that sounds and as common sense as that comes across, the element to which I personally witnessed cases occur when I was in the service and had retaliation against me related just to reporting such an act, it really brought to my attention that as soon as possible, we needed to move forward on this. I really, really cannot commend enough Senator Padilla and his staff, the staff that I've worked with the California Military Department, and those who have brought us to this day. This is truly California stepping forward and having the opportunity to set an example for the rest of the nation. And with that, I'd like to introduce Kate Weber.
Hi, my name's Kate Weber. I live in Sonoma County. I'm a military rape survivor. From the time of my sexual assault and physical violence at the hand of a trusted superior, I have been through too much. I have been involved in advocacy full-time ever since I sought recovery 3 years ago. So I was very medicated for a period of time. So 3 years ago, I decided I would become an advocate instead of sitting around and feeling sorry for myself. I don't really know how it happened, except I met others that felt the same way. In the process of meeting these others who have suffered the same kind of attack, I've been that someone to come alongside them and get them to a point where they could function again and accept some help, a sisterhood, a sort of camaraderie between women veterans especially, but we have men coming forward regularly, and we would like to just acknowledge that we know you exist and we're speaking for you, since it seems the media seems to be squashing the men a bit. When the Veterans Caucus launched Operation Reinforcements, that was huge. They brought me into this project. I could have never anticipated that this moment would come as soon as it has, and with the tremendous support that it has. I have considered this an emergency personally for at least 20 years since it happened to me, and I can see it is seen as an emergency to you all too. And I am available to speak to any of you confidentially just about what I'm experiencing with the soldiers that are, you know, kind of letting us know they need some help, you know, and what kind of resources we can give them. So I'm available to everyone involved in this to, you know, contact should that need be. But going to Washington and telling my story, right, you know, it didn't change the minds, but it did. It showed me that we have a large percentage of people who care and want to help get this ironed out so that we have less victims. And that's huge to us because each time we speak of our stories, it's re-traumatizing us, but others are coming forward, so then we're responsible to help them find resources as well. And I think there's got to be a better way. California is awesome. I love this state. I just would like to say that as Operations Reinforcements has moved forward, I was totally amazed to find out that our military department was already responding to the different incidents of this nature that occurred within their ranks. I've enjoyed actually speaking to their sexual assault response coordinator and spending time with her and finding out what I can do to be a resource to them as well. And they've been very receptive. And they've made a lot of internal changes, which I'm just really proud to be a part of and know about. They didn't look to the poor example of Washington, but instead they listened to those of us seeking justice. This is the military department. And they evaluated what was practical for them and brought about the practices that provide our survivors within the Guard to seek justice through the means they deem to be best. That is a nice feeling to be heard when you're talking about trauma. I wish to say I am so happy to be here on this day. If you had told me a year ago that this kind of justice would move forward in California before the rest of the nation and that it would be as simple as this bill that takes those practices and makes them policy, I wouldn't have believed it. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here. Thank you, Senator Padilla, for your courage. I am so happy that California has no hesitation when it comes to protecting our defenders. Thank you.
Great. Anyone else? Do we have any members of the public who'd like to speak in support of this bill? Or anyone in opposition? We have a motion from Senator Roth. Do we have any comments or questions? Senator Liu? Very well.
Then would I.
Anything else? Very well. Then I want to thank the author for bringing this bill forward in support of our veterans. And I think this is a great bill. And I'd like to be a co-author as well. So we'll call the roll. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Bill 1422 is due pass as amended, but first we refer to appropriations. Weso?
Aye.
Weso, aye. Knight? Block?
Aye.
Block, aye. Correa?
Aye.
Correa, aye. Liu?
Aye.
Liu, aye. Nielsen? Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. That passes out.
Very well, the bill is out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we'll make sure to share with all members of the committee the final amendment language once it's completed.
Thank you. Very well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Who is? Nielsen's on the way. We'll hold the roll open for 5 minutes for him.